Morning, everybody. Good morning. So great to sit with you yet one more week. And today we are in the Torah time of Bo. Come, Bo leParo, come to Pharaoh. We're in Mitzrayim, the Hebrew word for Egypt. Narrow, the narrow places. We are the Hebrew slaves under the rule of Paro, Pharaoh. Vayomer Adonai el Moshe, Bo el Paro, ki ani hechpadati et libo. God said to Moses, "Come to Pharaoh, because I have made his heart heavy." Ve'et lev avadav. And the heart of those that serve him. Lema'an shiti ototai ele bekirbo, in order to display my signs close to them. And that you may tell your children and their children, in order that you may know that I am Yud Hey Vav Hey. Or, as I like to say, the I am is the Yud Heh Vav Heh, the unpronounceable sacred breath of the divine that creates life anew in every moment. Breathing in, Yud Heh, breathing out, Vav Heh. So let's pay attention for just another minute to do that together. Breathing in, Yud Heh. Breathing out, Vav Hey. So, as usual, the Torah portion can be read as the heart of our Jewish mindfulness practice. So, we enter these teachings through the first portal of the Kabbalistic interpretation. That's the level of the simple story, Peshat. Pharaoh and the Egyptians are desperate from surviving the first seven plagues. Moshe keeps asking Pharaoh to let my people go. And God keeps hardening Pharaoh's heart. Pharaoh keeps saying he'll let the Israelites go, but always with one condition. So after the eighth plague, when the locusts devour everything left from the previous seven plagues, Pharaoh says, "Okay, Moshe, you and your people can go, but only the men." Then after the ninth plague blots out everything in darkness and blinds everyone, Pharaoh says, "Okay, Moshe, you can all go. But leave your herds and cattle." Then God gives Moshe detailed instructions for the Israelites to prepare to leave Egypt in a hurry. God tells them that after the next plague, the Egyptians will drive them out of Mitzrayim after lifetimes of hard labor. Mitzrayim, Hebrew word for Egypt, which is literally the narrow places, which I understand on the Peshat simple level, which is also the physical level, that I experienced this while I was standing in Egypt and I was traveling south up the Nile in the 1970s when peace between Egypt and Israel was in the making. But I learned the hard way that this peace was not widely accepted. So when I was in a cab, going back to my little room, there they had take it's a, it's even though it's a car, they were taking a number of different people, right? More than they should have had in there. And a guy in the taxi in Cairo suspected that I was from Israel. and he tried to throw me out of the car. And the taxi driver literally wrestled him and threw him out of the taxi and jumped in and saved us all. So, what was I doing in Egypt? I had made friends with some Egyptian young people that were young like me then when I signed on to a special program where young Arabs and Jews traveled together to the Greek island of Crete because Crete had been recently invaded by Turkey. And the land was divided with military guarding the border. So a group of young Jewish and Arab Israelis traveled to Crete to meet with other young people who were in also a divided political situation to gain perspective on our own unique ongoing political conflict. I remember the thick tension and fear and suspicion when the people from the kids from Crete met the kids from Israel and Palestine. And that hovered over us until I asked, as we were in the van going back to wherever we were going, I asked some question about maybe it was romance or maybe sexuality, I don't know. But it brought a lot of laughter and it broke the ice. So two of the Egyptians asked me to visit them in Cairo after our program ended. And so there I was in Cairo in that. First, I was on in that taxi cab, and now I was on a barge going south up the Nile to Luxor. And there was that's where I saw the firsthand knowledge of how this life was possible only on a narrow strip of civilization. It must be much more together now, but in the 70s, when I was on this boat or barge going up the Nile, if you looked on one side, there was distant, distant desert, flat desert. You looked on the other side, the same thing, with the exception that on either side of the Nile, there was a finite, narrow strip of the ability to grow food and to be able to survive in that setting. So Mitzrayim, the narrow places, became very tangible to me, and it was limited by how far the little li these little ca canals could spread on each side to enable them to plant. That long river and the little canals on either side was the basis of survival in Mitzrayim for thousands of years. So back to Torah, we get to the 10th most dreadful plague that kills all firstborn Egyptian children. And only then, Pharaoh says unequivocally and unconditionally, get out. So the next level of Kabbalistic reading after the Peshat is Remez, which means clue or dream perspective. And from the dream perspective, I am Pharaoh and I am the Israelites. I am an imperial dictator, and I'm a slave to toiling in narrow places. Pharaoh is my clinging to my preferences, opinions, ever trying to impose my will, my hopes, my everything, my presumption of who I am and who I am not, what I believe or don't believe, and how I perceive who I am, who you are or are not. What is this life or is it not? What is this world or is not? And who or what God is or isn't? Pharaoh is my delusion of being in control, of relying on my conditioned narratives that seem to be the truth of this existence. And feeling burdened and isolated, ashamed, defensive, laboring under perceived responsibility. It's the slave driver telling me I'm never doing enough. Paro is my imperial self that sees all things, people, resources, sensations like heat, cold, hunger, and all perceptions like loneliness and outrage, love. Existing as my pleasure or my pain. The Israelites are my desperation to escape from my habit patterns and expectations, carrying the world on my shoulders. The Israelites are my disappointment with myself and others for not being able to live from a larger perspective, larger than a forlorn powerlessness, in dread of stepping out of familiar constrictions into a wider spaciousness. The Pharaoh in me is continual confrontation with this unfolding of being, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. Like Pharaoh, I can let go. I cannot let go of my preferences, my need for control, beliefs of how things should be, and trying something, somehow, to get out of this suffering. As an Israelite, my happiness seems tethered to a roller coaster of arbitrary conditions and conditioning out of my control. But God explains how to get off this roller coaster. In the beginning of the parsha, the Torah states that freedom from suffering is possible. Freedom in this Exodus story means release from living under the burdens in narrow places. Freedom occurs the moment we notice and turn to serve the ineffable, Yud Hey Vav Hey. This aspect of compassion. Only by recognizing or connecting with Yud Hey Vav Hey, noticing its signs and its wonders, can we open to compassion that hears the suffering. Can I let go to serve something beyond my own conditioned preferences and fears? As Reb Bob Dylan puts it in a low gravelly voice, you gotta serve somebody. So actually, I wanna insert a commercial here for the biopic on Dylan in the movie theaters, The Complete Unknown, and also on Netflix, Rolling Thunder review of that incredible, incredible musician and transformative music and poetry. The Torah teaches that the key to freedom is to know that, quote, I am Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, unquote. What's Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh? Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh is both the impermanence of changing conditions outside our control and the permanence of the eternal unfolding of being within and surrounding us, who hears our cries. I was lucky to have a therapist for a couple of decades who literally heard and held me, and heard my cries and held me in my place of brokenness, accompanied my broken heart, cheered my breakthroughs and good fortune, and loosened the constraints of my narrow conception of this life, Ma and my Mitzrayim. So Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh accompanies us with compassion and love. Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh is the ultimate reality in this present moment that includes what was, what is, and what will be. The sound of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh is simply the sound of being, the sound of breath. So our practice is to notice the signs of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh in this moment of unfolding, of being, breathing in, getting intimate with what is, breathing out, suffusing it in compassion. We turn to the breath that undergirds our life, and out of that life, all into each moment. As Rabbi Arthur Waskow put it, God's out-breath is our in-breath, and God's in-breath is our out-breath. What an expression of intimacy and care. How would our lives be different if we held that idea close to us? When we bring our attention to the breath, we are released momentarily from captivity and the narrow places of the discursive mind that's busy avoiding suffering and prolonging pleasure. From the point of view of our discursive mind, we are desperate for Pharaoh to let us go. But from the point of view of Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, the obstacles of Pharaoh, of his and our heavy hearts, are integral parts of the process of becoming free. In our practice, when our hearts are heavy, whether it's from what's happening inside us or around us, we turn towards the heaviness. We don't banish, disguise, fantasize, or analyze it away. We simply be with it. We accompany it. Now it's like this. Check it out in the body, in the heart, in mental activity. And instead of struggling against that unfolding of being or the truth of this moment, we turn towards it to look deeper. How is this manifesting right now in the body, heart, mind? Rabbi Sheffa Gold used to say that if there was a name for her religion, it would be quote unquote this. This. Joy is like this. Panic like this. Sorrow like this. Love like this. The moment we turn toward Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, we notice the struggle to get away from or alter or improve what is happening. And in that moment, we enter into the service of Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. Because from that place of noticing, we move from reactivity to response ability, the ability to respond freshly in this new moment. Rabbi Sheffa teaches that the blessing of Bo is our freedom. We finally take the first step out of the narrow places of Mitzrayim and become conscious journeyers touched by the dream of awakening. Freedom in our tradition is not merely freedom from oppression, freedom from suffering, freedom from servitude, but it's also a freedom to be in direct relationship with God, our liberator. Freedom to be in that relationship in service to the one who breathes us into being, into the whole and the holy, freedom that depends on this servitude. Sheffa continues, the heart of Pharaoh is inside you. It's the place that has grown heavy with the weight of life's experience. It is the place that has hardened its outer shell and its inner layers made of fear and unhealed grief. Through this heart of Pharaoh, you must come, Bo, if you are to know me, if you are to find your freedom. Sheffa continues that this world is forever calling us to the surface of things with its drama, seduction, humor, entertaining, or sorrowful dilemmas. Constantly bombarded with stimulation, we begin to rely on that stimulation to keep us from dreaded emptiness. She writes that the spiritual challenge of Bo lies in the cultivation of a rich inner life. The obstacles to innerness and depth are represented by the heart of Pharaoh. The obstruction through which we must pass on our way to freedom. Norman Fisher describes freedom from Pharaoh in this way. When you concentrate the mind steadily on one thing, You bring the scattered pieces of yourself together, and the mind becomes calm and deep. From that stability of mind, insight naturally arises, and you start to feel your life in a different way, in the ways that the ordinary daily mind cannot. We are one planet breathing together. We can all access breath and practice with strength, ease and confidence and joy. Freedom is this magnificent gift of time and of space and of the arising of love. And this is why meditation practice is transformative and changes your basic attitude towards your underlying condition, and so changes your behavior. You understand that you are not the person you thought you were, that the world is not what you thought it was, and that others are not who you thought they were. And we don't need teachings to notice that everything is passing away and that we share everything. Let's see, do I have time? Yeah, a little bit of time. Reactions come from our clinging, worried, or desirous mind. Actions of yud heh vav heh come from a place that serves something larger than our own narrow preferences and fears. And these actions benefit all beings, even if it's simply one conscious breath. Freedom, or letting go, is for only one purpose alone, to serve yud heh vav heh, to serve what is true. So we turn to yud heh vav heh, the physical or mental, and watch the physical or mental narratives, the pashat, surface stories, the suffering within and around us. They don't stop, but when we stop and turn to breath and take a deeper look, then it's no longer the whole world that blots out all other reality. Then there is possibility of holding the suffering of the other and the exquisite beauty of the infinite possibility, as well as poignancy of our finitude. I'll close with another quote from Shefa, who writes that one of the keys to freedom lies in Moshe's insistence that the whole of the people must be free together. The challenge before us is to accept and to honor all parts of the self as a prerequisite for freedom. In answering the call of Bo, come, we are led onto a path of healing and of wholeness, where we take that final, that we finally take that first step out of narrow places, out of Mitzrayim, and become conscious journeyers touched by the dream of awakening. So thank you. Let's be quiet for a minute or so, and then we'll open it to your wisdom.